This episode is brought to you by Undeniably Dairy. Dairy farmers are more than farmers. They're climate caretakers. They see water as a precious resource. Most farmers recycle water up to four times, from chilling the milk to irrigating the crops. And some even use technology to turn manure into renewable energy. To learn more about what dairy farmers are doing to make their farms more sustainable, visit usdairy.com.
Vaginas are absolute magic, and Ollie is here to give them the respect they deserve. That means shame-free supplements made with clinically studied ingredients to keep your pH in check and your pleasure a priority. Put yourself on top. Go to Ollie.com today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hi, you are listening to the OCRA Potty Training Podcast. I am your host, Jamie Glowacki, and I am the author of OCRA Potty Training and OCRA I Have a Clumper. So today I want to run through a couple of scenarios. First and foremost, I want to reiterate something that I've spoken a lot about here on the podcast before, but it bears repeating because it keeps coming up with clients and on social media. So when you are potty training, remember self-initiation is block five. Okay. So self-initiation usually starts to come reliably about 3 to 6 weeks into the process. So even if your child like is self-initiating on day two or day three or a week in, I wouldn't necessarily let go of prompting. I wouldn't trust it just yet. Okay. Reliably, consistently, it appears more 3 to 6 weeks after your start date. But it's not happening for a lot of kids. And I want to check in because there are so many ways in which our current parenting is very infantilizing. Potty training is a big step. And a lot of parents, I wrote about this in my book. It's such a big deal. And I want you to be aware of it. There's something very bittersweet. Like giving up diapers. Not only are you giving up a certain amount of ease, of course, but this is like a big goodbye baby. Once your child controls their own bodily fluids, you see this boost in autonomy. Like there's way more wanting to do it myself, even though this is the age of wanting to do it myself in general. And there's a lot more independence. And then shortly after potty training, or maybe your child already is three, but typically people do it around two and a half. Around three and a half comes individuation. And that is that process, that psychological process in which your child starts to recognize that you and they are not the same person, that they have free will and choice. They can say no. They're very opinionated about things. They can have choices. So this is the age of hyper independence and they love it. They want to argue everything. They want to be known. They want their choices to be known. And so potty training sort of is the gateway to that, right? It's this like bittersweet moment of giving up your baby. But what I see happening very often is that people are infantilizing their kids. They're keeping them babies in so many ways and not letting the child grow. And what's happening is it's manifesting in potty training self-initiation. So I'll be working with clients who are like, that, you know, I need him to start telling me. I need him to start doing this on his own. He's got to go to preschool. But then the child is still in a crib. You know, cribs are great, right? But cribs are not used in many, many, many places. So the idea that a child should stay in a crib past a certain age is not really fair. And I know there's a lot of sleep experts who say, keep the child in the crib for this amount of time. And that's okay. But realize that when your child is still in a crib, they have to be helped out, right? And so if the very first thing you do in the morning is have to get your child out of bed because they can't do it themselves, that's not fostering independence and autonomy. And I've talked about this before, but keeping a kid in a crib doesn't do you any favors because I have people keeping their kids in cribs till they're like four, which is fine. But when they're out of the crib, now they're that much older. Now they know where the scissors are kept. You know, now they know the lay of the land in the kitchen. Like it's not going to be magical that they're just going to stay in their bed at four any more than it's magical that they can stay in their bed at two. So be cautious if you are extending the crib stay, because it's one of those areas in which we're not fostering independence and autonomy. So you're expecting your child to wipe their own butt. You're expecting them to tell you when they have to pee, but you're doing these other things for them or keeping them younger than they need to be. Another area that we hear a lot about is parents still holding down little boys' penises for them. I don't know why this is such a struggle all of a sudden. Like, I've gone and done this years and years and years, and it just seems in the last 6 months, this is a roadblock for a lot of parents of, well, I don't know how to get him to hold his penis down. You literally have the child sit, put the penis down, close their legs and say, hold your penis down. And yes, you're going to have to repeat it and again and again and again, but it really shouldn't be a struggle. But if you are assisting every step of the pottying process, so if you are literally picking your child up, bringing them to the potty, holding their penis down, you are going to be wiping their butt, especially if they're two or three, right? Consistent good butt wiping doesn't happen until like five or six, just logistically with the arm length. But if you're doing all these things and then turning around and expecting the child to do on his own, that's not really how it works. You're going to have to push the issue a little. You're going to have to like at least say, you know, okay, it's time to potty, you go potty, right? But what I find is that parents are doing every step of the process while expecting the child to do it on their own. But this comes across, this is kind of more in parenting too. I'm more, you know, I get parenting clients and I talk about this on my parenting podcast, but there's this thing that's happening more recently. I've seen it in the last year, which is this kind of expecting the child to make these big leaps in thought and the child to do the right thing without any active teaching. So if you're doing all the things for the child and yet expecting that they're just going to do it on their own one day, it's not really how it works. Right. So remember, with self-initiation, you want to break up the process a little bit so that the child, you know, there's like half chores. So let's say the steps to go to the potty are get to the potty, take the pants down, sit, wipe, get up and wash hands. Say that's the minutia, right? So you want to tell the child, okay, it's time to potty, go to the bathroom, I'll meet you there. Or, okay, well, let's go together. You pull down your pants, you sit here, you wipe first, I'll wipe second. You want to break up the chore so it's not so like overwhelming for their little brain. Now, the other thing is you want to really look around your house, especially if you have a younger kid. A lot of times these older kids, their toys are too babyish. You've held on to their baby toys. The baby's now got the baby toys, but you haven't up-leveled the toys. I see a lot of kids kind of resisting potty training. It's tied to this. It's like there's no autonomy. There's no sense of independence in themselves. And so they're not being challenged enough. We're asking them to show up and behave in a different manner than we're actually communicating to them. Yeah. For example, I was working with a client who gave their child a karaoke thing, but then expected the child to consistently use it at a low volume or not to use it at certain times. And I said, well, you might want to just take that toy away for now or get them headphones or only allow it when the baby's not sleeping or these things. But to give a child unfettered access to something and then tell them they have to use it in a certain way, that's asking a lot of a child. And the same thing goes for all the potty training process, the things that go into the potty training process, right? If you're doing it for them, expecting them to just do it, why would they? Up until now, you've pretty much done everything for them anyway, right? So look around and see where you can foster that autonomy. It's a lot of work. It takes a lot of time to foster autonomy and independence. Because it takes longer. A kid who's cleaning up themselves takes longer. A kid helping with dinner takes longer. A kid helping clean the bathroom takes longer. But it's really important that they feel like a big kid. If they feel like a baby, if you are pulling them out of a crib, how can you expect them to alternately act like a big kid, right? And the other thing is chores. You got to have them help with chores. Kids love chores. I talk about this in my second book, Oh Crap, I Have a Toddler. It's not child labor. It's not teaching them to be adults. It's teaching them to be part of a family. And that's what we do. We clean up. We help with clean the toilet. We help with the dishes. When kids feel useful, it boosts their independence and autonomy. They love feeling useful. One of my favorite parenting books is Hunt, Gather, Parent. I highly suggest it. It's a wonderful book about parenting in other cultures. And mostly in other cultures, kids have a lot of chores. Because it makes them feel like they're part of something. There's an African proverb that says, the child who does not feel the warmth will burn the village down to feel it. Yeah, I think I'm paraphrasing, but it's similar. So when you're seeing resistance, when you're seeing challenging behavior within potty training or without potty training, you want to foster that notion. You want them to feel part of your household. So then they feel like contributing. And that includes being in charge of their own bodily functions. So just keep that in mind. I just find that a lot of parents are frustrated because their child's not taking on potty training as their own, but then the parents are doing everything for them. So why would they, right? We're literally teaching them how to be and how to be with us. Let's move on to a big scenario of which there's many different versions. So first and foremost, I'm hearing a lot about this again very recently. I imagine it's been happening as long as there's been potty training, but be cautious if you are potty training with a friend or a family member. And number one, if you're like doing it together, I'd be very cautious because there's nothing else but to compare and despair in that situation. So I get this comment quite often. Oh, I started with my best friend. Her daughter got it. My kid's not getting it. I'm so devastated. Again, we're using hyperbolic language, right? Devastated, heartbroken. Look, your kid's taking a little slower. That's fine. But there is a danger of doing potty training with somebody else in that you are going to compare and despair. I have been doing this full time for 15 years. I have never seen two kids do this exactly the same. So you can't do that. You also can't base your experience or planning your experience on somebody else's experience. So your best friend potty trained their daughter 6 months ago. You know, they had a great time. The kid was all set and done in 4 days. So you plan, okay, I'm going to set 4 days aside to do my kid. Everything's going to go great. And it doesn't. You start thinking it's your fault. It's weird. Your kid's not ready. You start thinking all these things. In reality, they're just two different kids, two different processes, and they're going to do it different. So you really, really, really can't go into this planning on somebody else's timeline. Another really big mistake I see is assuming you are going to have a potty training all-star because your kid's smart and they are agreeable. And, you know, thus far, everything has been kind of easy with them and you've had the angelic child and you just anticipate this going really well. So you set aside 2 or 3 days. You're like, yeah, this is going to be a no-brainer for my kid. Then there's a struggle. I don't know why, but toddlers go sideways about the strangest things. You have no idea what kind of kid you're potty training till you jump in. So it's always better to leave a huge buffer of time, as much time as you can at home, and as much time where they don't have to go right back into activities. That's the best. So now, more so than age, I look at like, when do you have time to do that? Is it over the summer? Is it Christmas break? When is that the best time? Because that's going to be the best predictor of success, even more than age. But there's another thing that factors in with this, and this is one of the scenarios. So you see your best friend potty trains their kid in 4 days. You set aside 4 days. You plan a huge trip to Disney for the week after, you think, or 2 weeks. You think, okay, I got plenty of time. Everything's great. This is going to happen in 4 days. I can plan this trip. I bring up Disney because it happens again and again and again and again with Disney in particular, but it could be any big event, right? You don't want to plan that big of an event close to potty training. You don't want to go, even if your kid is a all-star after 4 days, you don't want to go to Disney within 2 weeks of potty training because it's still going to be so new and so exciting. Remember, sphincter muscles open up with emotion, right? And excitement is one of those emotions. So you also, look, you probably paid an arm and a leg for a great vacation, or maybe you're going, I don't know, to a beach house for a family reunion or something. The problem is you're going to kill your own vacation. You are parents. You are tired. You deserve a vacation. Don't take a vacation with the newly potty trained. It's going to put you on edge. So allow enough buffer. Don't assume you're going to have an all-star. You just can't. It's almost opposite. Assume you're going to have a struggle and you'll probably be great, right? But if you assume you're going to have an all-star, it will wreck your plans. You may, but you may not. Now, another scenario that we find with Disney is, say you have left yourself like a lot of time. You book 2 months out. You're like, oh, we'll definitely be done in 2 months. And then there is a struggle. A lot of times poop withholding is activated with potty training, or suddenly your child gets freaked out and is pee withholding, or maybe there's accidents or something's happening. There's all kinds of glitches that happen, right? Doesn't mean you did anything wrong. It's just every child's individual, right? And now you have a trip plan. So this happens quite often. And I tell clients all the time, I said, look, this is going to take some work, but realistically, are you going to be able to hold firm with the work we do? So a lot of times what happens is, let me give you some specifics so you can kind of work this out. Not every situation is going to be like this, but I'm working with a family. They had 2 months to potty train, and then they had a trip to Disney. Child was struggling. A couple of weeks in, all of a sudden got freaked out by poop, started poop withholding. They tried some things. Then they ended up hiring me with only a week and a half left to go before Disney, because they kept thinking, okay, we'll get it. We'll figure it out. So we start working together about a week and a half before they have to go to Disney. And I was like, hey, listen, what has to happen here is that you got to do the work, right? This is going to take a lot of work. Do you want to do the work now, which it still may not be resolved by the time you get to Disney, like fully resolved, right? So you're still going to have to work it while you're at Disney. And are you going to cave? Are you going to cave at Disney and give your kid a diaper? Because that's more detrimental. And so the mom was really honest with me, and she said, I probably will cave. And I said, then let's just do it when you're back from Disney. Reset, put a diaper back on the kid, go to Disney, have a freaking blast, have an awesome family vacation, come home, and then we'll do the work when we can keep it and maintain it and be consistent, and you won't cave. So that's a situation. I talk about caving early also in my my parenting podcast and my other book. It's always better to cave early than cave after, you know, after you've done a lot of work, the child's still showing some form of resistance or anxiety or something going on for the child, and then you cave, because then the child's just learned that lesson. No emotion, no guilt, no shame. The child's just learned the lesson. Oh, if I do this long enough, I can get the thing I want, which is, for some kids, they just really love that diaper and they're super attached. All by way of saying, know yourself. And I suggest, especially with poop withholding and pee withholding, the sooner you can get help, the better off you are. Because these things just, if a child is withholding and you keep thinking it's going to get better and better and better, it's actually just them practicing withholding unconsciously. They're very unconscious about it. And it's a muscular reaction to anxiety, but the body itself is just practicing withholding. And so it gets harder to work with. I do recommend my pooping solutions course. I hear very often on social media, not very often, but I'll get a comment once in a while, like, oh, this didn't work for me. It works 100% of the time. It may need tweaking and you may need a consult. But, you know, I did offer a very low cost version so that you have the bare bones. It's everything I tell my private clients. It's just not, you know, tweakable individually. Get help though, as soon as possible, because poop withholding and pee withholding usually doesn't resolve, and it doesn't resolve if you re-diaper. So a lot of parents do that because they get very strung out. They re-diaper and they say, okay, they're not ready. It's not that they're not ready. This is going to be worse the second time around. So the sooner you can get help, the better. You can always go to my website under Get Help. I'm currently booked, but we have lots of great consultants who have a lot of experience with this. So definitely reach out to them. Again, I use the example of Disney, but this can be any big event that's coming up. If you are planning potty training, don't plan to potty train close to a big event. Just don't do it. It doesn't even matter, because listen, potty training is one of those funny things. It's not transferable, right? Just because a kid does well at home does not mean they're going to do well on a plane, does not mean they'll do well at daycare, does not mean they'll do well on vacation. And most importantly, travel with a toddler. I don't care if it's Disney. I don't care if it's a family reunion. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's going to see your mom who's going to take the kids for a week while you go to Mexico. It's still stressful traveling with a toddler. Traveling with a newly potty trained toddler is even more stressful. And if you've been planning a vacation, take your freaking vacation. Take it, have a great time, and do the work when you get home. I really highly recommend that. And that goes for any sort of struggle. If you're in a struggle and you feel like, okay, even if I start working on this, I'm going to cave. I'm going to just put a diaper back on them. It's really detrimental to the process. So if that's how you're feeling, put a diaper back on now. And when you're ready to do the work, okay? Because I just see a lot of parents mucking it up. And I know in my book, I say you only get one reset, particularly if the child is over 3, right? You only get one re-diapering. And very often in these scenarios, the parents have tried to potty train before. This is the second or third attempt, and they are really petrified of putting a diaper back on for one of these big events that kind of snuck up on them. And I say, you know what? At that point, it doesn't matter. It's just not worth doing the hard work, having a struggle over the vacation. Just reset and do the work when you get home, okay? If you have any questions on that, because I know there's probably all thousands of different scenarios about that, you know, you can write them in on social media. All right, you guys, that's all I got for today. So hopefully that helps. And I, as always, appreciate you listening, appreciate you being here, and rock on. Have a beautiful day.